We've looked now into the mirror for the third time. We've seen where we are. We've seen, for the moment, whether we're a god or a titan or a hungry ghost or a tormented being or an animal or a human being. And when we've seen where we are, we can know which is the next step that we have to take. And this brings us back to the six Buddhas. Better to say, the six Buddhas appearing in the midst of the beings of the six worlds. One Buddha to each world. And these Buddhas, according to the Tibetan Buddhist teaching, are all manifestations of the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, the Bodhisattva who embodies, as it were, the compassion aspect of the enlightened or enlightenment experience, the compassion aspect of Buddhahood itself. Or we may say that the figure of Avalokiteshvara, the one who looks down in compassion, represents absolute love and absolute compassion. And each of these six Buddhas, these six manifestations of Avalokiteshvara, holds, as we saw, some particular object, something needed by the beings of the world in which he appears. Now, what each Buddha holds, the particular object that each Buddha holds, indicates the next step to be taken by a person, by a being, in a certain state of mind. Now let's follow this up. Let's go into this a little more. As we saw, in the world of the gods, there appears a white Buddha, and he holds a veena, or lute, and he plays the melody of impermanence. Now what does this mean? It means that when we are in the state of aesthetic enjoyment, of higher aesthetic enjoyment, the next step for us is to remind ourselves that it doesn't last. To remind ourselves that such enjoyment, such aesthetic enjoyment, however great, is not to be mistaken for the supreme bliss of enlightenment or nirvana. Remind ourselves that though things seem to be going well now, though we are happy, satisfied, contented, delighted, there's still much to be done. We still, as yet, haven't reached nirvana. And this brings us to the point, the point that's very much insisted on in the general Buddhist tradition and in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, the point that prolonged happiness can be spiritually dangerous, if not disastrous. If we are happy all the time, contented all the time, things go easily all the time, we have it our own way all the time, there are no problems, no obstacles. If we have too much of this state of affairs, too much of this state of mind, what happens? We tend to become self-satisfied, complacent, even careless, even unmindful. And we tend to forget that we are mortal, that life is short, that time is precious. And this applies even to the enjoyment of the experience, the higher aesthetic experience of meditation itself. Meditation in the narrower sense of the term, as well as of the enjoyment of the fine arts. We need to go, as it were, from the heights, from the pinnacles even, of our mundane, in this case aesthetic experience, to the experience of the transcendental. And it's interesting, incidentally, to note that the white Buddha plays the melody of impermanence on a veena. He plays the melody of impermanence. That is to say, he doesn't stand up among the gods, among these sort of people, and deliver a lecture on impermanence. He plays a melody on a lute. And that melody is itself the melody of impermanence. It communicates the message of impermanence, just that melody. This reminds me of the story of Ashvaghosha, the great author of The Awakening of Faith. He was not only a great philosopher and great spiritual teacher, apparently, he was a great musician. And he went all over India in medieval times, all over India playing upon a lute, a veena. And Yuan Chuang, who visited that area, followed in his footsteps, as it were, a few centuries later, tells us in his memoirs of his sojourn in India that the effect of Ashva Ghosha's music was such that when people heard him playing upon his veena, they at once got a sense of it's all impermanent. They at once got a sense of everything conditioned is unsatisfactory. They at once got a sense of all worldly things are unreal, insubstantial. Nirvana is the only reality. Just by listening to the music, they got that sort of feeling, that sort of impression, that sort of experience. There weren't even any words to the music. It was music without words, if you like, songs without words. But the music, the melody itself conveyed that. So it's the same in the case of the white Buddha playing on the veena, the melody of impermanence to the gods, waking up those who are in this higher, admittedly, but somewhat complacent and self-satisfied state of higher aesthetic experience, awakening that to higher transcendental truths and realities through the medium of the veena. In other words, through an artistic medium, not through a philosophical, religious or intellectual medium, through an artistic medium.